Expression Network. I love it. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, you look good today. Yes, it is Super Bowl weekend. Some of you, you don't even care. But for those of you that do, because the Seahawks aren't in the game, so whatever. Like my wife said, commercials, it's pretty exciting. But for those of you that want the San Francisco 49ers to win, I'm sorry, it's probably going to be a disappointing day for you. But yeah, I just wanted to let you know, next weekend, don't miss. It's going to be an incredible Sunday morning as Lucas Connell is going to be with us. He's from Australia, and God, he has an incredible testimony that you're not going to want to miss that he's going to share on Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we're going to have an extended worship time. We have childcare. Sign up. Just go to our homepage on our website to sign up. But he's going to also pray for people who've just struggled in your emotions. And God supernaturally delivered him from a lot of areas of his life. And just, I believe that God wants to help improve our quality of life. And so I just want all of you to be here because I think we can all use some fresh anointing and grace on us in our life, right? As we're all trying to live in this world. So next weekend is Encounter. It's going to be a full weekend. So early morning service, which is the 11 o'clock. For some of you, it feels really early morning, it seems like. And we're going to have service with him. And then that night at 6:30, we'll have our Encounter service. So sign up today for childcare. Awesome? Awesome. And then check out baptisms. We got baptisms coming up also. So this morning, I want to talk to you about where is the battle. And all week long, I've asked my staff and I to meet every day and pray in the morning. So we're meeting, well, not every day, but it's Tuesday through Thursday. We've been meeting from 9 to 11, just praying for you specifically. So I just want you to know that all week long, you have been prayed for. And I don't know where you find yourself, but I've been experiencing some incredible breakthrough. And so if you've been finding things just kind of shifting or working or like doors opening, you can just pretty much say it's because of us. And that's really exciting. No, I'm just messing. It just feels good to have somebody praying for you. You know, knowing that you're not alone and you're in this. And then e-groups start today. So if you haven't joined an e-group, check it out in the lobby. But the title of my message is, Where is the Fight? And you know, it's interesting in life. I think many times we find ourselves in a place where we're struggling or we're fighting, and it feels like there's no breakthrough, or it feels like it's a really intense fight. But I want to let you know this morning that I think sometimes when it comes to the fight, we're actually fighting the wrong battles. And I'll give you an example. Some of you who have been in relationships would know that many times in a relationship, there's something that comes up that one of you are going to, you know, die on that hill. And for whatever reason, it's a random thing, like the toilet paper being on the right side, right? Or the shower curtains being closed. And for whatever reason, you know, someone leaves the hairdryer out. There's always someone else that decides that that's going to be the hill that we're going to die on. And we go to battle, we go to war over some of these things, and it's not even actually the real thing that's the battle. Then maybe it's because there hasn't actually been any time in communication between the two of you, and you haven't discussed something, and so now instead of discussing that, we want to fight for dumb things. I mean, really, ultimately, it doesn't really matter which side the toilet paper's on, but we're going to fight that battle. And I think God wants us to recognize, not be ignorant of where the battle is. Because the enemy wants to cause us to think we know the battle. And then we go in and we're trying to fight this battle, and it's actually not at all the battle that we should be fighting. Because ultimately, God says, I've given you the victory, but there is a battle that is going on that we are to wage war on. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and it says this. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and I think these words are so appropriate as we approach the question, where is the battle? We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people and ourselves from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach ourselves and others to what? What is ultimately the thing that we're fighting for? And I want to just thank Faustin for stepping in last week. We have the greatest generation pastors in our church. I love them so much. And his word on obedience, we were getting ready, and we were at Pastor Benny and Wendy's grand opening service last weekend, who are a part of our board. And it was so incredible as they had the opportunity to buy an old Super Kmart and renovate it for a place for thousands of people to experience Jesus. And it was so much fun to be with them and just to experience family again. And they send their love to you. But what's interesting is we come to this whole story of Joshua and the Israelites. And God ultimately is wanting them to understand where the battle is. And so what takes place is in Joshua chapter 7, Joshua sent some of the men from Jericho to spy the next town. So they just fought Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and they went in, and they took the land, and they're coming to their next town. And many of the stories in the Old Testament are indicative of what God is doing in us. So it's so fun to read the Old Testament and then apply it to the experience of our life. So as we see that Joshua and the children of Israel are looking at the next town, this is what takes place. Joshua sent some men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Aav. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There is no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. And since there are so few of them, don't make all the people struggle to go up there." Here in this moment, Joshua and the children of Israel, they assume they know the battle. And because they think they know the battle, they decide how they're going to enter this battle. I think it's the same for you and I, that we're at our job or at school or in a relationship or with people that we see. We judge the situation, and actually we miss the very thing that is the fight. Because what takes next is this, that they assumed they knew what the battle was, but when they got there, things were not the way they assumed. 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air." I don't know about you, but I am tired of swinging and missing. Paul illustrates this, that I don't want to be someone who's constantly swinging and missing. And I think ultimately, it's because we're missing the whole idea of what the fight is. We think we know. We think it's about our finances. We think it's about our job. We think it's about stuff or things. And actually, the fight that we're in is for something completely different, because what took place in that battle, they were not prepared for, but it was the very battle that God wanted them to understand. You see, the enemy comes in. We're over here fighting, and the enemy comes in the back door because he understands where the fight is. They went to Ai, and they're like, "Man, this is a piece of cake. This is how we're going to do this. This is what we're going to do." And they end up in Joshua 7. It says this in verse 4. "So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 of them who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of event, and their courage melted away." So what takes place is actually in Jericho, God tells the Israelites that everything in Jericho is mine. Don't take anything. It's the first city they come to, and all throughout Scripture, God loves the firsts. It's the reason why we give our tithe. It's the reason why we come on Sunday. He loves the first part. And so the first city they went to, which was Jericho, God said, I want it. I don't want you to take anything. And there was an individual by the name of Achan that while he was in the battle and he looks down and he sees some stuff, gold, silver, and he takes it and he brings it back home. The Israelites go into the next town and they're soundly defeated. Why? Because they thought they knew the battle. But the battle is actually a battle for trust. You see, God had already given them the victory, but ultimately God is asking you and I to trust Him. Will you trust me? And here's the thing, is Achan, he shows up. And he's afraid, and he, for whatever reason, and I think this is the issue, right? Is that we ultimately are battling this idea of trust. What's the issue? God wants us to trust Him. And so because Achan didn't ultimately trust God, they lost the battle. Because what is the battle actually? Where is the fight? The fight is for you and I to trust God. The fight is for us to trust God. Everything was to be set apart to the Lord. And Achan couldn't handle it. And because of his fear or his lack of trust, they lost the battle. The enemy understands where the fight is. Do we trust God? And it was a test. Will you give me the first? And if you give me the first, I'll take care of you. But when we hear that, we interpret what we think the battle is. And so we go in to wage the fight, and ultimately the fight is, do we really trust God? And so God is drawing you and I into a place. He already gave them the town, but it was a test for their trust, because ultimately God wants us to trust Him, because His word will lead us to freedom. When it comes to trusting God, we have to trust that He's trustworthy. We have to trust His word. We have to trust Him about what He says about us. We have to trust Him for what He wants us to do. That trust will open doors. That trust is God will fight for us. They went in with all of their men to fight. Ultimately, God says, I've got the battle. It won't even take 3,000 to win the victory, but that's not where the battle is. The battle is for our hearts to recognize that God is drawing us into a place of trust. So will you trust Him for your relationship? Will you trust Him in your finances? Will you trust Him at school? Will you trust Him that He will take care of you? And ultimately, Achan couldn't. He thought he knew where the battle was. There's two parts to this fight that I want to share this morning. Is the first one is it's a battle to trust and it's a battle to submit. God puts us under leadership that they may not understand all of us. So here's Achan. It's a battle of trust. He first comes and he sees this and he has this fear. What if I can't have any of this? What happens? You don't know where I've come from. So there's two things. Trusting God that what He's going to provide in the future, I need to let this go. And trust God for my future. But then secondly, Joshua gave a command to the Israelites, take nothing in this city. But here's the thing. God's asking all of us to submit to the authority that he's put us under, even if they don't understand us. Because here's the thing. Achan could have said, well, Joshua, you don't know what struggle we've been through as a family. We've never had. Yeah, easy for you to say, Joshua. You're like up there with the uppity ups. You got everything taken care of for you. But you don't know what it's been like. Listen, here's the thing, is ultimately Achan had to submit to authority even if he's misunderstood. There was no conversation about Joshua having a sit down with Achan and giving him all the facts so that Achan can finally go, okay. But that's what we do. But do you know what submitting to authority, any authority that we're under that God has placed in our life? And by the way, that includes each other and husbands and wife. The Bible says submit to one another. That it reveals how we will respond to God. It says in the Bible that children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's this idea of submission that he begins to indicate even early on as a child. Why? Because how you respond to your parent is ultimately how you're going to respond to God. How you respond to your spouse and how you respond to your boss, how you respond to those that are just over you. And by the way, that's a part of life. That even if they don't understand you, even if they don't give you all of the information, you have to protect your heart. You can't change everybody else. You may not get all the explanation, but where is the battle? Trusting God, and will I reveal that my heart is ultimately submitted? Well, I'm just submitted to God. Well, according to Romans chapter 13, God says that everyone is subject to being under authority and rule. And we all have to respond to being submitted. And it's not a fun subject. Achan didn't get a chance to tell everybody why he was so afraid. But ultimately, he had to respond to Joshua's command. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He is trustworthy. His love, his kindness, his intention, his will, his word, his ask. If the battle is trust, then how do we win the battle? By understanding who it is that we're trusting. It's not a matter of working harder at trust. It's a matter of understanding the one in which we trust. I don't even remember how to say it, but it's not a matter of us working harder at trust. Depending on our background and what's taken place and all of the different things that lead us to a place of fear of ultimately trusting is still not an excuse. But how do we overcome it? Yes, we can ultimately deal with the, I just can't trust because of A, B, C, and D. But really how you overcome it is becoming more and more acquainted with the one that is asking us to trust him. That's why we worship. That's why we read his word, because every time you get into his word, you see that he has been faithful. He's a good God. Jesus showed up to show us how the Father is so that we could trust who he is. So the battle isn't trust, and the battle is being submitted to authority. Look at what happens in Matthew chapter 8. There was an officer who comes to Jesus. He had a sick individual in his home, and he needed Jesus to heal him. And the officer said this, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Now, let me just pause there. How does he know that Jesus can just say the word? This guy hasn't been in church. He's not been reading his Bible up to this point. But how does he have an understanding of the power that Jesus has to speak a word and it be released? He says, "I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, and come, and they come. And if I say to my slave, do this, they do it." Verse 10, then Jesus heard this and he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." So the battle for Achan and the Israelites is ultimately, do you trust God with your life? Do you trust his word? And do you trust that where God has put you, are you actually submitted to authority, or are you constantly kicking those that God has put over you? I know that none of us like this message, me included. But trust me, I had to wrestle with it first. How we respond to authority is ultimately the tapestry, the playing field in which we respond to God. You're like, well, I'm ultimately submitted to God's authority. Yes. But how does God test that? Will you respond to earthly authority, demonstrating, God, I actually trust that you're going to fight my battles for me? This is messy. But what I love about the story with the Roman centurion is power was released in the most supernatural way because he understood how to submit to authority. And the Bible actually says in Ephesians 5:21, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Bible even says that when Jesus was 12, he submitted himself to his parents. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people. Why? Because he submitted himself. We're talking about the ruler and the one who spoke into all existence, still understood godly authority. He went into the temple and confounded the scholars and the religious leaders at 12 years old, but yet still submitted himself to his parents. And they are not perfect. But what happened? Because Jesus understood how authority comes, not from taking it, but submitting. And here's the thing, I'm your pastor. My job is not to be your friend. My job is to help prepare you so that you can actually step into the fight that is real and stop fighting the fight that you don't need to fight. And we have to make a decision because culture is telling us to kick against everything. And I'm not talking about abusive and people that are mean and lording over you. But by the way, the Bible actually still even addresses that. That even when they're wrong, you aren't to fight them, but understand where the fight is. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle in the spirit. Why? Because we are heaven. We are a part of a heavenly culture. So here's what happens, okay, if we constantly are kicking against those with a certain type of personality that is over us, and they don't embrace us, and they don't sit down with us, and they don't share their heart with us, and they just tell us what to do, and we're constantly frustrated. Guess what? Everywhere you go, in every job, you're still going to face people like that. And every time you blame that it's them, and they don't honestly tell you everything that you've ever wanted to know, you've just limited the scope in which God can use you to minister to them. Because actually, you are an ambassador of heaven. And how you respond is exactly how God wants to use you. And by the way, how we respond and understand where the actual battle is, trusting God, submitting to authority, Achan didn't get a chance. He was told what to do, and ultimately he had to make the decision, where is the fight? The fight is, I see this, and I'm afraid, and my leadership doesn't care. They don't know. I think it's a battle every time I write my tithe check. God, you want me to live on 90? I can barely live on 100. But where is the battle? It's not in my money. Come on. Come on. It's in the reality. Do I really trust God? So he brings things to the surface. He puts us in fights that we think now we're fighting. And the enemy comes in and he's gutting us. Because we're not paying attention to where the real fight is. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your kids. It's not against your teachers. Against the enemy who wants to keep you from trusting God. Because if you trust him, he'll take you to places you didn't even imagine. And God works through authority. I don't like it either. When I was at the city church, and ultimately Pastor Ginny was my boss, but I was like several bosses down, and Ginny would just say the word, and then that would trickle down to me, and I didn't get a chance to like go into her office and like tell her what I thought. And there was a fight. I started with a bunch of individuals that after a while they all left because they couldn't hang with it. But I understood where the fight was. The fight was ultimately for me to be trusting God and submitted to authority. Because when you trust God, doors open. And when you submit to authority, no man can close them. My wife just told me to smile. Sorry. I've been fighting a cold all week, so my ears are clogged, and it just kind of makes you just... I don't even know where I am, but I'm closing. I feel for Achan. He actually thought that the battle was to grab what he could get. And I think ultimately we all feel that. Maybe your parents didn't help you. Maybe no one's ever helped you. So you feel like the battle is to get what you can. Maybe authority drives you nuts. So you're one of those guys that are like, you know what? I'm just going to be my own boss. Awesome. But being your own boss, ultimately you have to respond to the customer. And if you keep kicking against the customer, you're going to find yourself in a place where nobody wants to hire you. And the battle is not what we think we're fighting, but God bringing us to a place where we ultimately go, God, do I really trust you? I find myself trying to jockey and shift and work things out, and I gotta work it because I got nobody else working for me. That's so false. And the enemy wants you to think that that's what the fight is all about. So that you waste all of your energy and you're exhausted at the end of the day. Because you're swinging in the wind and that's not fun. I want to go toe-to-toe with the enemy, and I want to show him that Jesus declares that he's a dodo head. And it's not just praying these supernatural prayers that somehow I'm twisting the enemy now and I've got him on the ground. Well, all throughout Scripture it says that the weapons of our warfare are not what we think. We pray so that ultimately what? We can trust God. We get into His Word, and by the way, His Word, that's where trust is. And submitting to authority. Am I going to submit my life to this? Is this the standard in which I'm submitted to? Yeah, but you don't know, I really love Him. I really love her, and we got to show each other our love. Oh, man, I guess every existence in our life really comes down to, we think we're fighting the battle of purity, and honestly, it really comes down to, is it a battle of trust? I remember when I was a young man and I was thinking about, you know, someday I was going to get married, and the only reason why I was thinking about the someday I was going to get married is because I was thinking about the someday I was going to get the and all my friends are, you know, experimenting and living in this culture. There came the battle was, am I actually willing to submit my life to the Bible and live according to God's word? And you know where it really came down is I kept thinking that God was trying to pull fun out of my life. That's what the enemy does. He comes and he's like, oh, youth, this is the battle. The battle is that God's pulling fun from your life. When ultimately the battle was, do I actually really trust God that He's got something better for me? And her name is Dana. And let me tell you, sex in covenant relationship is way better because I don't have to worry, well, was it good? And I wonder what she's thinking. And she's married to me. She got to like what I give her no matter what. And I don't have a history and a past. And the beautiful thing about God is He can actually redeem all of that so that there's a freshness and a newness. But why? And I'm not just talking about one subject. I'm talking about every time we come to a place where ultimately we have to make a decision. Am I going to live according to God's word? Because His word says the truth will set you free. There is freedom and hope and liberty when we live according to God's way, not our way. I get it, Achan. I'm afraid too. My board sometimes tells me what to do and I don't like it. They don't listen to all of the things that I feel either. But I still have to make a decision where I'm at. Am I going to submit or am I going to just go find my own thing? By the way, everywhere you go, that's who you're taking with you. You're going to have to face these battles. But ultimately, these battles win because what is God doing? He's drawing us into a place where we give Him our heart. I close with this. Proverbs chapter 3 says this. Oh, and I'm only 4 minutes over, so I can just tell you this. Ai, you know, the town that they went into and they got their butts kicked, was the town that God was going to give them everything. It was the next town. So every time God is wanting us to let go, just trust He's got better. Don't fight that battle of trying to hold on. Trust Him, let go, because right around the corner, you're going to get more than you could even have carried. Here's Achan. Oh, no one look. As he's trying to hide it. the next town. They don't even have to hide it. They just get to put it on their horses and get as many of their family members to carry it. But we're over here with our morsels. Our little baby morsels, and we're making such a big deal about it. And God's like, will you give it to me? Just give me your 10%. Just give me your first. Oh, but you don't understand. I haven't had much my whole life. My parents were monkey wrenches. Yeah, but who's your parent now? Who's your daddy now, huh? Will you stand with me? Proverbs says this. I want you to see this, Proverbs 3, and I think it's the last one down there in all of my verses. I'm pretty sure I have it in there. Proverbs 3. Is it up? Oh, I just don't see it there. Oh, it's because it's a JPEG. All right, here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, because that's where the battle is. And He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Oh, I know where the battle is. Instead, fear the Lord, which really is, that word fear is trust. Trust the Lord. And turn away from what you think and where you want. Go to the next one. Then you will have the enemy wants us to think that if we trust God, we don't get anything. But it's actually the place where the greatest power is released. Then you will have healing in your body and strength in your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill. I think sometimes we read the Bible and it's all this like, oh, you're not going to have, you're going to lose, everything's going to be taken from you, you're going to have no fun. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. Go to the next one. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you, for the Lord corrects those He loves. You see, He was trying to help Israel understand the concept of trust and being submitted to authority. Because how they respond to their leaders is how they're ultimately going to respond to Him. And they want them to respond to Him because He wants to fill their vats. He wants to open doors. He wants to release healing. He wants to provide for them. He wants to bring water out of rocks. He wants to bring manna from heaven. He wants to give them land that they didn't work for or they didn't earn. This is the heart of God. So let us understand where the battle is for our heart and our response to Him. And we're going to close with this song, and ultimately I think all of us have to come to a place where we go, God, I re-surrender my life to You. If you're here for the first time or you don't even know this Jesus, the Bible says that there's a submitting to who He is. Jesus, You're the answer. You're the ultimate answer for everything in my life. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is in charge, you will be saved. And then I respond to Him. And blessing upon blessing upon blessing come in my life. Not because God's trying to manipulate us, but because He created you and I, and He wants you to have a life that is full and abundant. The enemy wants to take and steal. And so we're going to sing this song together, and if you want to come forward, kneel, sit, whatever it is, but I think we just need a moment to respond to Jesus and evaluate what we've been fighting and go, God, I'm coming back to You. Make me a vessel. Forgive me for not trusting You. Forgive me for always making it about me. I've been fighting the wrong battles. I've been fighting this relationship. I've been fighting this person. I've been fighting my leaders. And God, I submit.
So